All right, Luke 18. We ended up yesterday studying about what faint means. But it's the scripture was, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. I'm not going to go through it, but faint is used a lot in the scriptures. And it just means that you leave faith and go back to your mind for any reason. And that's what the basic meaning of faint is. So anyway, chapter 18, verse 2, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city that came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she weary me. Let's go on. We have to read the rest of that for the next few verses. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So this is a parable about whether or not he's going to find faith when he comes. Is the garment going to be spotted by the flesh? And so the issue here is this: the parable is about this unjust judge that didn't believe in God and didn't regard man. But because this woman kept coming to him, she was a pain in the ass, but that's literally what it means. He said, okay, I will fix her, lest she weary me greatly in continuing this coming to me. And that's a strange way of describing how we should be with God. But it's true. You've got to keep on keeping on in terms of whatever it is that you're asking God to solve. It doesn't matter. And I hear these guys say, just pray once and forget it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You've got to become a pain in the ass to God. Amen? All right, so let's... The word judge is just an arbiter. It was a Roman procurator or any number of priestly offices that could fit this name for judge. And fear is phobia. But regard is an interesting word. He feared not God and regarded not man. Regarded is extrepo, and it means. It literally means reverence, but let's just look at a couple. Matthew 21. Start in verse 33. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants greater than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir, come let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And they said unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. And Jesus said, Did you never hear? Read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation or a people, bringing forth the fruit thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, and on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind into powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them, and they sought to lay hands on him. They feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. The word regarded there is what again in verse 36 and 37. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and he did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. They will extrepo, regard, give regard or reverence. Let's go back to Luke. Let's go to Hebrews 12. We're going to look at one more about reverence or regard.
Hebrews what now?
Hebrews 12. Let's study verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this issue of the sin which does so easily beset us, but you know, I teach that the mind of Adam is the default position. And we know it's the default position because that mystery of God, the seed of Christ, was shed on all flesh on the day of Pentecost. And that isn't revealed until there's you accept your death and repentance on your part. But that, in order for that test or that mystery to be proved, or in the same way that it was in Christ, then the default position always has to be the mind of man. So that it's always repentance to get you out of it. Anybody disagree? You believe that the mind of Christ is the default position. Then what do you account for that the seed of Christ was shed on all flesh?
That was eternal. Mm-hmm. That shedding of all flesh transcended.
Right, there's always repentance necessary, and that continues until you have the mind of Christ.
Well,
and that's because your mind has to be in agreement with that.
But the way you're teaching it, it never happens.
Well, it's the default position after repentance. I mean, before repentance, it's always the Son of Man's mind is always the default position. But with repentance and the understanding that this thing is your enemy, then finally you come to the place where you have the mind of Christ, which is the total emptiness. But the default position in every situation is always the mind of Adam. Until you've seen the emptiness of everything and repented from it.
I believe repentance returns you to
that's not as that doesn't
then,
stay there.
That then is the real default position. Looking at it the other way, there's no end to it. There's never Christ.
Well, this is why it says we must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that's the job of every believer. That's what sanctification is. And in order to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, we have to see that everything other than abandonment is of the evil one. And we can't do that unless the evil one is the default position. Otherwise, you could just be a brand new believer and say, okay, now I've got the mind of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what the whole of sanctification is about. If your default position was the mind of Christ, then that wouldn't be necessary.
His default position
until his baptism was the mind of man.
Okay, we've been baptized.
Well, but his baptism was his burial forever.
No, it wasn't. He got baptized in water just like us.
That's what I'm saying. His baptism was his burial. That was his burial. Because he saw the end of everything that his mind could do. Then from then on, after the first thing was the test of Satan and everything else to see if anything could get his mind back. He couldn't.
Except in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Huh?
Except in the Garden of Gethsemane where he...
Well, there's three times we've talked about it.
Those are three mentioned.
Where he was tempted to have the mind of Adam return. And he always repented of it.
Yeah, he
did. Yeah, I don't think we'll ever stop having bring the thoughts into captivity while we're
no, but
on
that's
this world. You know, that's always going to be going on.
Right.
Getting back to the...
No question. That's what we do. That's what sanctification, another word for it is you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
And that actually is the mind of Christ. That's doing that. Emptying and, you know, doing what that describes. And, you know, that's...
Well, the mind of Christ isn't there until it happens, though. I mean,
yeah.
This is why time and space exists.
When you say it isn't there until it happens.
It isn't there until you.
What mind then is doing it? Your carnal mind is doing it.
No, every time you. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing it, but you've got to be in agreement with it that it should be done. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit is off here doing it with somebody else. He's never going to violate your will. It's the humility of both Christ and the Holy Spirit that prevents them from wiping us off the face of the earth for our sin right now.
If you'd only come to Bible study last night, all be clear to
No, you once said that bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ was what Christ is doing.
Yeah,
not you.
John just said.
No, he didn't. You've got to bring it. You. Who's it talking to? It's not talking to Christ.
Talking to a dead man who's got this great burden on him to do something, and yet he's dead. So is he dead or is he not dead? Let's come to terms with it. And I know that you say, though, it's the Antichrist who's risen. It's like there is never, this is a puzzle with no solution.
Well, the solution is to do what the scriptures say. That you bring every thought. You, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Let every thought, every word be seasoned with salt. So there's nothing left in your thought or in your speech that is of this world. It's all from the standpoint of eternity, from the standpoint of the mercy seat. And it describes those four positions. If you just, if you're still in the world, no matter what you think you see, if you're still in the world, you're still, you right unto your darling infants because your sin is forgiven. And then you enter into then the next one is I write unto you teenagers because you've known the Father. That's, we're in the wilderness and nothing works. And finally, I write unto you young men or young adults because you were strong and the word of God abideth continually in you and you've overcome the evil one. That's still in the New Jerusalem, that's in the New Jerusalem, but not in the mercy seat. And finally, I write unto you fathers because you've been with him from the beginning. Finally, you've seen that your true identity has been with him from the beginning of time or before it.
That's what I say about the default position. That's your position.
But that, if you're using your mind for anything, then you've resurrected the evil one. And so by the using your mind is what all men do until they see it's vanity, until they see it's stupidity. But as long as you're using your mind for anything in the world, then you're still in that position of the darling infant. Your sin is forgiven, but that's about it. That's what's not of faith.
So that's using your mind. Okay, is there any other position in the mind world that is not using your mind? Praying isn't using your mind, or is it contemplating or being compassionate? Is that using your mind? It's
forsake your thoughts and your ways, for they are evil. There's no such thing as a good thought.
So Christ doesn't have a good thought?
Christ emptied himself so that he could be the channel clear between he and the Father. He did nothing of himself.
But in that position, he and the Father are one.
But that isn't by statement, it's by act. It's by the way that what he did. He saw the vanity of everything in the world. He saw the vanity of his entire mind. And so at baptism, he was buried. And the channel was clear. It was a pipe with no more the Son of Man in it. He said, I can do nothing. And that wasn't just said, it was true. If the Father didn't act, he did nothing. And that's to be our position.
I've been watching a lot of Kenneth Copeland video lately, and
I'm sorry.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm sorry too. But he believes his thoughts are sanctified. Up and dances on stage, getting this new jet, and praise God, we can do this and that. And see is that carried out to when we say our thoughts are God's thoughts, you know, that's sort of the example of what
where you can end up.
Where we end up, yeah, when we're saying, well, isn't if Christ is emptying and he has God's thoughts, you know, and we empty and we have God's thoughts, but it neglects this idea that, or this reality that we're continually returning to the flesh, and we need to continually repent from that.
Well, back to Hebrews 12.
Well, I struggle with if I'm going to Whole Foods and there's a little old lady whose cart tumbles over and her stuff goes everywhere, and I help her, that's a carnal deed, a fleshly deed. That's where I struggle.
Why do you even give it any thought? If you do it, you do it.
So if it's spontaneous and I do it,
that's fine. But what my point is, then why do you question? Why do you think about it?
I'm just thinking the context of what I was hearing this morning. I just threw that out.
Yeah. Once we start thinking about it, we pollute it. It becomes.
What did you do?
I helped her.
Good.
Sorry, said. Hey,
I thought it was like theoretical, you know, hypothetical situation.
That's all over the parking lot. You better hop to it.
All right, back to Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now the sin that does so, again, sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. And it so easily besets us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, ours is in there, he's the author and finisher of faith, who instead of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And this is what we're studying now, is faint. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And what do you faint? How do you faint in your minds? You return to your mind for a solution, rather than waiting on God.
Yeah. You aren't faithful to him.
What?
You are not faithful to him. Or faithful to your surrender.
Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And again, it's striving against self. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as little as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, and faint not when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whether all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, if you had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for a profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. and no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are. Exercised or humbled thereby. So here it's talking about regard. We've been giving reverence to the wrong thing. We say we gave reverence to our fathers after the flesh, and we don't reverence God. Then back to Luke, verse 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. What are you dealing with? Then keep giving it to God. Keep giving it to God. Keep giving it to God. Until you weary, until you're a pain in the ass to him.
Yeah, this is like a worst case situation. You're dealing with a judge who doesn't fear God, or, you know, it's like, but that's to show that we're dealing with God,
right,
who is, you know, wanting to hear.
Knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking.
So then, looking at your situation, you're a good example of this, I would say, of praying, get out of this pain. Even though you sought forgiveness, you still want out of this pain. So on the one hand, you would not continue doing that over and over because it says it somewhere. They think by much repetition that they'll, you know, hear them.
Well, it's not that's two different things. One is when they pray to be seen, and they think by much repetition God's going to hear them.
Yeah.
That's a little different than this.
That's a different context.
But most of the time, believe it or not, since that experience happened, most of the time when I'm sane, I thank him for the pain. Not because I like pain, but because I understand what it's doing. I don't have any. Most of, you know, if
well, that would then be Christ in you who can actually.
Well, again, I don't make you get it. I don't even think about whether there's one or two or three of us anymore. It's just one. It's just one.
You talk about the Antichrist always the Antichrist raising his head and always repents, always repents. So that's one. Then there's Christ, which is the other one. So there's, we're talking about two. So I say the one who can truly say thank you for that pain. Not your flesh. You can't say that because it would be lying. But somehow in that special moment when he manifests himself, that's a true prayer or true thanksgiving. And to me, that's the default. That's the true default position, which is Christ in you, who manifests himself. He does it. Up the old lady's groceries, and then he thinks about it and he's switched horses.
Well, either way, the whole purpose of time conformed in any way to this world. But as this mystery unfolds, we're transfigured by the... I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the only reason time exists, is those few verses. So you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Again, it's anakinesis, it's renewing. It's a gradual, a conforming, and be gradual, but it's a conforming to that which was, is, and will be. And the only thing that is was, is, and will be is the mind of Christ. So then when we can see and know by experience and by no more if-onlys, we know that our mind has no purpose other than to be empty, other than seeing everything else as smoke and vanity, then this mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you're letting that transpire by this renewing of your mind. It's being renewed for one reason, that you might put to the test that good and perfect will of God, which is Jesus Christ in you. So it's put to the test in you, so you as your soul will be in agreement with Christ and his bride. And that's every part of it. That's the only purpose that we exist. So there's so that finally you see, you do nothing. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Nothing leads you. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven speaking, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Never again lead them. That's the definition of having entered into his rest, as God did from his. Rest is no longer a day of the week. It's a person. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. And we must cease from our own labors if we're going to be in him of any kind. Amen.
Amen.
All right, take a big guy. Who can take me at, I have to be there at 1:30.
Yeah, I was going to.